put a snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side. Thank you.
All my life I've been so lonesome. If happiness came, I missed the call. All my dreams have been so aimless, and now I'm so tired of it all. In life and love, I've been a loser, and too many tears had to fall, and nothing but broken vows and promises, and now I'm so tired of it all. All I ever loved, I lost. Helpless, I watched my castles fall. Tomorrow brings nothing but sorrow, and now I'm so tired of it at all. From here I know I'll soon be going, and no one will miss me after all. And up there I know I'll find content, down here I'm so tired of it all.
Rednecks showing up. Is it me, or is it ironic that a bunch of white people with signs show up to say that Black Lives Matter, and they do that outside of a Cracker Barrel? I think it's ironic. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Sardonic humor? I don't know. Would I be a horrible person for saying that I would never advocate violence, but you know, if you had people, I mean, if there are people on rooftops in certain cities, no one knew, undisclosed rooftops, and handing out Darwin Awards, you try to bash a store window in with a skateboard, and, you know, the kind of, you know, people are being killed. Wasn't there a, what city was that? Was that Nashville? There was a city back east, I think, that there was a child trapped inside a burning home. An infant, I believe. So if you're going to be doing those kinds of things, and someone's, you know, there are essentially snipers on undisclosed rooftops handing out Darwin Awards. Congratulations, you win. I bet it would stop. I know. I'm not advocating violence. I'm just saying that would, you know, no three strikes, no warning. You just, if you're going to endanger lives in particular, then you will be stopped immediately. And it's curious, you know, to see the largely the stand down of law enforcement over the weekend, and the normalizing of violence. It lends itself to something, and you have to realize that everywhere you look, there's this effort to escalate things, and we have to ask ourselves why. So back to Brian's email and this quote. I think these are Nikki's words, but I think this is the best way to put it right now, the best way to sum it up right now, the situation, and more importantly, how
to along the ride. We are having some issues with comms this morning. Comms are broken, so we will make the best of it here in the first segment and see what we can do about getting that fixed during the first break here in a moment. But I wanted to start out just by kind of expressing my views on some things. And I think that is kind of a unique value, if there is one, to this broadcast. I think people have expressed sentiments that is valuable sometimes. So I was thinking there's plenty of violence to go around these days, and much of it is seemingly justified, whether it's shooter Ruggie disarming Seattle rioters while protecting Q13's Brandi Cruz and her field reporting team, or Samantha Wilkinson's husband dishing out a beating to would-be West Virginia pedophiles. That's a story I think that circulated back in March of this year. The headline was West Virginia dad beats and slaps the bejesus out of local creep who approached his young daughter. You know, a few six-year-old girls were outside playing, and this person approached them and was repeatedly asked by parents not to talk to the little girls. And so as a result of disregarding those requests, he suffered the consequences. There's plenty of violence to go around, it seems, these days. And that all sort of reminds me of Pike's letter to Mazzini, which David Icke mentioned recently. I thought that was interesting. Alluded to it, I should say. David Icke has said humanity is mind-controlled and only slightly more conscious than your average zombie. And the sheepdog warrior ethos states that the sheepdog must think like the wolf. Must think more like the wolf, I should say, than the sheep, in order to protect the herd, the sheep herd. And I just think that has a directional momentum, if you will. And it makes me think of Thomas Jefferson's words, for example, on sheep's sheep and wolves, the sheepfold or the flock and wolves. In a letter to James Madison in 1787, Jefferson wrote, "We affirm in the face of unparalleled examples our agreement with the abhorrence of government by tyranny." And this quote, to have an idea of the curse of existence must under governments of force, they must be seen. It is a government of wolves over sheep. That was actually a tribute to Thomas Jefferson, quoting his letter to James Madison, the tribute back in 1943. So anyway, Jefferson writing to have an idea of the curse of existence under governments of force, they must be seen. It is a government of wolves over sheep. And you know, that's a sentiment that's been largely attributed to Edward R. Murrow, but that's challenged or disputed. But, you know, this is kind of the idea, and I've talked about this in relation to, you know, other quotes. Adam Smith, for example, in The Wealth of Nations, giving us the distinction between the permanent warrior class, or the regulars, as the founders would call them, and the militia. And the way he put it in The Wealth of Nations, Adam Smith, he wrote, in a militia, the character of the laborer, the artificer, or tradesman predominates over that of the soldier. In any standing army, that of the soldier predominates over every other character. And so, you know, when you sort of think about this, you start to see a fork in the road, I think. And another way to make this distinction, I think, of a nation of self-reliant people, rugged individualist self-reliant people, is embodied in the words of Edward Abbey, who said, grown men do not need leaders, but he also wrote, if America could be, once again, a nation of self-reliant farmers, craftsmen, hunters, ranchers, and artists, then the rich would have little power to dominate others, neither to serve nor to rule. That was the American dream. And I agree. I believe that still is the basis of the American dream. So you just look at these ideas, and there is, it seems, a fork in the road. And so I think, you know, isn't it expensive? So the sheepdog says, and the warrior, sheepdog warrior ethos states that the sheepdog must think more like the wolf than the sheep in order to protect the sheepfold. But I think, isn't that expensive, not to mention, frankly, communitarian at some point, to require a certain class the devotion to being sheepdogs and protecting the sheepfold? And doesn't the nation who lives by the sword historically die by the sword? I mean, you're encouraging a divergent populace. You're encouraging people to be hardened in this warrior ethos, and also a certain class of people to just relax. When we've been told repeatedly, Andrew Jackson, for example, in his farewell address, telling us that eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, and we must pay the price if we wish to secure the blessing. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations. So, likely been achieved by the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel with all their tools. I'll talk more about this on the other side of the break. No child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced. And then we'll move on. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
I think we got stuff fixed a little bit, at least a little bit. It should be better. So apologize for the first segment there. That was not fun. I probably should back up. I think I will. And I was just thinking recently about what's going on, and I always have Pike's letter to Mazzini, the allegedly spurious letter from August 15, 1871, in the back of my mind. This pushing decent and reasonable people, basically backing people into a corner and forcing them to, you know, into a reactionary movement, if you will. And I think the ideological leaning or the mindset of this country has sort of brought us to a point where we are at great peril, because it's not just a nation of sheep. You know, we had some of the idioms floating around in our past about a nation of well-armed sheep and, you know, those kinds of things. But from what I see, there's plenty of violence to go around these days, and much of it seemingly justified. I think there could be plenty more dished out, quite frankly. And, you know, violence is a term that I would use loosely. It's not always physical violence, which is an interesting thought when people start using the word violence. Anyway, my point is, it seems like there's plenty of violence to go around these days, much of it seemingly justified. And like I said before, whether it's Shooter Ruggie disarming Seattle rioters while he was protecting Q-13's Brandi Cruz and her reporting team, or Samantha Wilkinson's husband dishing out a beating to West Virginia would-be pedophiles. These kinds of things, in the minds of most normal people, I think, on the face of them, make sense. You know, this is to protect certain people. But, you know, there is a momentum to all of this. David Icke has said that humanity is mind-controlled and only slightly more conscious than your average zombie. And as I said, the sheepdog warrior ethos states that the sheepdog must think more like the wolf than the sheep in order to protect the sheepfold. And you just wonder. I mean, do people wonder what the natural logical consequences of this mindset are? In the way that Thomas Jefferson put it, again, in a letter to James Madison, 1787, to have an idea of the curse of the existence under governments of force or tyranny, they must be seen. And he wrote, it is a government of wolves over sheep. These guys were not unacquainted with violence, and they were not, generally speaking, sheep, I would say. Not the way that we are these days. They were more of a hardier, rugged individualist spirit, and not unacquainted with violence, but not prone to it either. Did not have a bent or a penchant for it. And, you know, again, Adam Smith from The Wealth of Nations, similar sentiment. I would say the difference between this regular class of, you know, the national military establishment and the militia, which was supposed to be our first line of defense. A well-regulated militia, as the Second Amendment states. So Adam Smith in The Wealth of Nations wrote, in a militia, the character of the laborer, the artificer, or tradesman predominates over that of the soldier. In a standing army, that of the soldier predominates over every other character. And so where does this lead? You know, or as, you know, again, as Edward Abbey put it, the man who said, grown men do not need leaders, he wrote, if America could be once again a nation of self-reliant farmers, craftsmen, hunters, ranchers, and artists, then the rich would have little power to dominate others, neither to serve nor to rule. That was the American dream. So I'll finish that thought and we'll move on after this short break. Stick around, I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, what the hell is in this stuff? This is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
When you were here before, I couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a werewolf. What the hell am I doing here?
I think we're rocking. I think we're on track. So let's continue on. I'll finish this point. We'll move on. I think, you know, again, a nation of sheep and sheepdogs, and you know, people who understand the warrior or the sheepdog ethos. Understand that basically the modus operandi is to think like the wolf and to sort of outthink and anticipate the wolf in a sense. And the problem, I think, with that is that, again, you breed a certain society and you run the risk of certain things, you know, again, the sheepdog being used surreptitiously and unwittingly, which I think actually is happening in America. No offense to anyone in particular, but I think we can see that. You know, most people don't realize, for example, you know, when we saw the horror of September 11, 2001 in this country, I don't think at that point the majority of the populace understood that even if that was a completely genuine, spontaneous, organic event that we could take at face value as it was given to us through the mainstream press, which I don't think we can. I think that's been proven ad nauseum and ad infinitum on many points. But even if we could take it at face value, I don't think most people realize that, for instance, you know, the CIA's Operation Cyclone created the Afghan Mujahideen. You can still go on YouTube and find the clip of Zbigniew Brzezinski on the Afghan-Pakistan border, the Khyber Pass, saying, "Your cause will be successful. You are right. Your cause will be successful. You get your homes, your mosques back because God is on your side." National Security Advisor to Jimmy Carter, Zbigniew Brzezinski, said that, and the press covered it there on the Khyber Pass with Zbigniew Brzezinski. And it's still a fact of history. Wikipedia still has the entry on Operation Cyclone, which was, you know, a parallel operation essentially to the Iran-Contra scandal and so many other things. Most people don't understand these things are happening. And so folks who put their lives on the line in service to their country and their countrymen and to protect others and, you know, their fellow Americans, our way of life, so to speak, and these things, most of those people certainly don't know those facts going in. And that's just, you know, one drop in an ocean of facts that have been occluded in order to maintain that manipulation of folks. So you have that danger. And like I said, when you create a system like this, a caste system where you have the sheepdog and the sheep, it's expensive, isn't it? Because you're constantly trying to – it's the same argument people have made with the police and the fact that the Supreme Court has even held that, you know, the police don't really have an obligation to protect the general citizenry when it comes right down to it. You know, when push comes to shove and rubber meets road, the Supreme Court has held that police don't have an obligation to protect people because of this issue, basically. You know, you have a massive disparity in numbers, basically. So, you know, the police can't be everywhere at once. And so the implication, I think, is it's expensive, not to mention, frankly, communitarian, like I said earlier, to require a certain class the devotion of being sheepdogs, and it engenders a laziness on the part of the general populace, I think. So what is the alternative? Everyone's head is on a swivel. You know, everyone is steeped in the warrior ethos. Everyone's a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And, you know, is that the alternative? Do we become Sparta? And so to that, you know, my mind thinks, doesn't the nation who lives by the sword historically die by the sword? Therefore, and, you know, ultimately, the way that I think of this, and, you know, maybe I'm admittedly, perhaps I'm being naive, but I don't think so. But it seems to me, and I think we have this in our own history. I think we have evidence of this in our own history. It seems to me a nation guided by the Christian ethic, rooted in biblical orthodoxy, not this crazy nonsense that we see rolling out a la the World Council of Churches, National Council of Churches, et cetera, et cetera. But actual the true Christian ethic rooted in biblical orthodoxy and generally understood by most of the society. In other words, a nation that is familiar, at least, with the Bible and the good parts, so to speak, the parts that are not controversial, you know, honoring your father and your mother, what's controversial about that? And things like that. You know, people that want to talk about the genocide of the Old Testament, I've been happy to have that conversation for years, and it's misunderstood. And I think when you understand what's really going on and why there was a marked departure in the New Testament from that, then the argument for, you know, genocide in the Bible is put to rest, I think, summarily. That's my own personal sentiment. But people familiar with this, and the idea of, you know, if someone asks you to go 1 mile, go 2. If someone asks for your shirt, give them your coat too, that kind of thing. The embodiment of grace and mercy. If that was, you know, the way the nation was characterized, a nation guided by the Christian ethic, rooted in biblical orthodoxy, generally understood by the general populace or most of society, is that, to me, that seems like the government Jefferson spoke of, which governs best by governing least. Because these are people who, as Edward Abbey said, are grown men and women who do not need leaders. They are self-governing. They understand the law written on their hearts by God, so to speak. Which gets back to precisely what James Otis was saying and what John Adams said about how James Otis said it. You know, we don't go around trying to find ways of intrigue and deception to offend one another. Instead, we find ways to do right by one another. I was having a conversation yesterday. I've had this conversation. You know, to me, the conduct of the general citizenry would shun the kind of Marxist provocateurism, frankly, that we've been witnessing recently, while inspiring grace and mercy and, above all, peace on earth, goodwill toward all. That's the way it seems to me. And I was having a conversation yesterday. As you know, if you've listened to this broadcast for any length of time, since before the 2000 election, I've been harping on Hayek's Road to Serf, 2016 election, excuse me. I have harped on Hayek's Road to Serfdom, a few chapters in particular, Chapter 2, The Great Utopia, Chapter 9, Security and Freedom, Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top, Chapter 11, The End of Truth. But particularly Chapter 2 and Chapter 10, Chapter 2, The Great Utopia, Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top. And the way that Hayek tells the story in this book that was published at the conclusion of the Second World War, wherein he compiles a compendium of information and history into this tiny little volume to say, this is how this happens. This was not an anomaly. And yes, there is the manufacturing of this event. There's no denying that. For those who are not aware, maybe just go listen to James Perloff's talk. There are so many points that we could jump off. You know, we've played Patrick Claussen on, you know, his clip on false flag incidents. Foreign policy expert Patrick Claussen, but, you know, James Perloff and so many others have written and spoken about this exhaustively. So if you're not familiar with the way that World War II was a put-up job, maybe go listen to James Perloff. But, you know, that notwithstanding, basically, I think the salient takeaway, the overarching salient takeaway from Hayek's Road to Serfdom, and, you know, especially those chapters like Chapter 2, Chapter 10, and really all, is it's the planners. He quotes Henry de Saint-Simon in Chapter 2, the technocrat extraordinaire, the guy folks like Patrick would have talked about. And Henry de Saint-Simon said that, you know, those who did not obey his proposed planning boards would be treated like cattle. So I was having a conversation with somebody about a gentleman on the lake who, you know, he and his wife he and his wife worked hard their whole lives. They ended up buying their dream plot of land, built a house on a lake in western Montana. And this was a fairly high profile situation some time ago. So, you know, hardworking blue collar folks who lived humbly, well within their means, and bought their dream piece of land, built a house, and then in come the McMansions and, you know, this effort to build these million-dollar things on, you know, lakefront property and so forth. And the next thing you know, taxes are going up all around the lake because, you know, we have this fancy city. We are a state, they said, that is that lives on tourism now instead of natural resources, mining, timber, etc. So we need to raise taxes. And some people, you know, in some places you have these grandfather clauses where, you know, these people, for example, maybe bought their property in 1960, built their dream house, and should be grandfathered in so they don't have to worry about that. And so these people say, well, no, no. You know, this gentleman needs to pay his fair share. Well, you know what? This gentleman gave his life in many ways to afford these other people the ability to have this conversation. And this gets to the heart of the scourge of the Federal Reserve, in my opinion, which is why I say if I ran for office, the first question I would ask is, every year we raise a certain amount of taxes, so to speak, to provide certain services. And next year, inflation, which is driven by the Federal Reserve, the central banking cabal, this so-called fractional reserve system. Why do we need to lend the people's money to the people? Every year we raise certain taxes for certain services. Next year, inflation dictates that those services will require more units, in other words, cost more, generally, as we would say it. And the purchasing power of the people's units will be diminished. In other words, your wages will be worthless or have less purchasing power. So how do we address that disparity? And some people, the planners, usually will say, you know, I want to do a thing, and therefore let's make plans, whether it's right or wrong, whether it's ethical or moral, let's just do it. Let's see if we can do it. And just because you can doesn't mean you should. So what ends up happening is we've all seen it. If you've been to a city council meeting, you get the impression there is a contingent, a moneyed contingent, almost a moneyed aristocracy on a micro level who says, well, you know, we want to do this thing. We have our little ICLEI board that is in conjunction with Agenda 21, Sustainable Development Goals. So, you know, we want to do this thing. And the people feel like they're being treated like cattle, including people like the gentleman I described who worked all his life, you know, was a great model citizen, and then ends up being taxed out of his dream home that he built with his own hands. And where does it end? And Hayek tells us in The Road to Serfdom, that's how it starts. It's the planner's planning, and someone needs to execute. And there is a continuum or a progression of force and tyranny and oppression. versus the opposite, which is why I say, I think a society, a nation guided by the Christian ethic, rooted in biblical orthodoxy and generally understood by most of society, is, as Jefferson said, in my humble estimation, that government which governs best by governing least. Hopefully that makes sense. Stick around, I'll be right back.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. I want to do maybe a little bit of sort of long form content in the next hour here. I apologize for the slow start, but I'll just say this to conclude. As I said yesterday at the kind of the conclusion of yesterday's broadcast, I see signs for encouragement. I believe that what's happening is designed to, in military sort of fashion, Kettle and Corral people, herd them into a reactionary movement. And what I see is not just, you know, people ignoring, oblivious to what's going on around them. I, in my opinion, what I was trying to express, particularly in the call with Tom yesterday, is, and again, mine is a very limited window into these things. Obviously, I'm one person. I'm not running around doing any sort of scientific, you know, metric evaluation of these things. But I'm just talking about my own, you know, temperature check on the tenor of comments and things. And when I look across social media platforms, whether it's, you know, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, or whatever, it seems to me that there are a growing number of folks. There are fewer folks saying, "You're such a kook for believing that," you know, "you're such a kook for saying that Bill Gates is not a medical doctor or medical expert of any kind. He's a college dropout." Fewer people saying, "Oh my goodness, what kind of wacko would say that?" More people saying, "Yeah, we know this is a put up job. You know, there's no scientific basis for things like six feet or whatever." But there isn't, I don't see a corresponding reaction, like this, you know, outrage that's supposed to collide us all together. And that to me is tremendously encouraging. Hopefully that means people are thinking for themselves and not just reacting to things. And I think so, which reminds me again of John Adams' dissertation on the canon and feudal law, when he talked about how the tyrannies of old produced the greatest number of statesmen the world had ever known. Who knows? Maybe the same thing could happen in America. Maybe that would be the so-called reactionary movement, I say with air quotes. Maybe we could have a bunch of people who actually do get knowledged up, and we all start practicing the kind of eternal vigilance that folks like Andrew Jackson admonished us to exercise. And I think we and posterity would be better off as a result. So that'll do it for the first hour. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.